the Classic Business Tax Feature.
Well, as companies consider the myriad knock-on effects that this lockdown is having and will continue to have on business, amongst these is the critical question of what the tax implications might be for companies with international or at least dispersed operations outside of South Africa. Kemp Munnik, Bravura's Head of Structured Solutions, has considered this, and welcome to the show, Kemp. It's a little convoluted, but it really is important to understand. It all boils down to how travel restrictions might impact a company's place of effective management for tax purposes. So let's just start with how SARS ascertains residency, firstly.
Afternoon, Michael, and to the listeners as well. Yeah, I think what's quite important to understand is that with international operations is normally where the business are situated, that's where they manage, and that's where they get taxed on their profits. And a lot of these transactions or businesses do operate internationally, and with the lockdown period, a lot of management are now stuck in a country, and they can't actually go and operate or manage the business effectively in a specific jurisdiction. And the problem we're having there is that sometimes, or the rules are that if I can determine that I'm sitting in South Africa and I'm supposed to run the business in the UK, but I'm running it from South Africa, the Revenue Authority International would like to say that that business in the UK has been run from South Africa, so therefore you must pay tax in South Africa. And it will be quite interesting to see how they're going to treat the lockdown periods where management are really stuck in different countries to determine where are the tax residents from a business perspective. And that could have a huge impact because there's going to be a huge fight between revenue authorities. And a company X is actually taxable in South Africa or in the UK, but that's a dilemma we might be facing going forward. But that's a very unclear situation we are at the moment.
It's fascinating. It all boils down to the so-called place of effective management, the poem. But this is not one with sweet lyrical ending. It's certainly one that is not easily understood either, because the Act as it stands doesn't seem to explicitly define what a place of effective management is.
No, you're absolutely correct. I mean, the place of effective management is a term and definition used by the International Revenue Authorities and the OECD, and there's no specific act governing it. It's an interpretation by different countries, and it always goes into huge debate where it happens, and as I said, that's always a grey area, even before the lockdown period. But with the lockdown period, it's actually more effective, and so okay, where did Mr. X sit when he actually ran his business in another country? And that is always, and there's lots of court cases internationally that govern it, and lots of rules. And as you said, there's no clear definition in any act or internationally, so it's always a grey area and a very difficult concept to understand or manage. And especially in this current environment, it will be very difficult to do.
And, you know, if directors can't travel, they clearly have an impact on where the meeting is held and where one could argue the place of effective management is. But in this world where you can zoom in from wherever you are, I suppose that just adds another layer of complexity as well. And there's also something to do with exit taxes that will now come into the pot as well. Just explain how exit taxes will work in this environment.
Yeah, if one gets to the point where there is a determination that the company is actually managed from, say, South Africa as an example, and then they exit the UK from that perspective because they've agreed now that the company is taxable in South Africa, a lot of countries have exit taxes. And what does it mean is that if you move your company residence from one jurisdiction to another, is sometimes a capital gains tax charge. They work out the potential capital gain, or there's a dividend charge that they calculate on your revenue reserve that's available. For example, if a company leaves South Africa for individuals, there's an exit charge, and that means that you calculate your capital gains tax on the assets that you've got, or there's revenue reserves in your company. Then they say, okay, from the next day, you're now based in the UK, so you have to pay a dividend tax in South Africa when you leave. And that could have a huge tax implication because a lot of this time there's no cash available to do it, especially in the capital gains tax side. And then companies get into trouble. And that could be the dilemma that might affect companies adversely.
Yeah, and I think these are the more sort of detailed and nuanced implications of the COVID-19 lockdowns across the world that are no doubt going to become far more clearly articulated in the coming weeks and possibly months. Kemp Munnik, Bravura's Head of Structured Solutions.
This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 1027 in Johannesburg and Fine Music Radio in Cape Town.
Well, from tax to the taxonomy of a virus in the COVID-19 Daily Dashboard, brought to you by Letha Healthcare Group and Asino Company. And following a meeting of the National Command Council yesterday, President Cyril Ramaphosa mandated Health Minister Zweli Mkhize to hold a live engagement online on Zoom to deal with technical aspects relating to the COVID-19 response. It quickly went viral across WhatsApp groups and was very substantially oversubscribed, a Zoom meeting. The minister said at the start of the engagement that the current stats on the outbreak were that there are now 2,272 confirmed cases in the country, a jump of 99 cases. There have been an additional two deaths, a 68-year-old male from the Western Cape and a 57-year-old male from Gauteng who passed away in ICU. So our condolences to those families. And this takes the total tally of deaths in the country to 27. We've seen more than 83,000 tests have been done and more than 438,000 screenings. Professor Adrian Puren, head of the Center for HIV and STIs at the NIH.